journey of Christmas. As I said at the beginning, all of us are on a journey. Some may think they're early in that journey. Some may be close to the end of that journey. Many are in between the journey, but we don't know when the journey ends. And this points us to the relevance of this journey that we've been thinking about today, the journey of Christmas. Let me reflect with you some of the things that we've heard, probably things that you know of, but perhaps to reflect on them in a different way as we think of how the journey of Christmas intersects with our own journey, the journey of life. Just think of the journey that Mary and Joseph had from Nazareth to Bethlehem, about 90 miles. Doesn't seem much to us in our cars, but can you imagine this young couple, Mary expecting a child, as they make their journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem, probably taking about 3 or 4 days as they traveled. And I'm sure that Mary, as she traveled, this godly young woman, still in her teens probably, was reflecting on what the angel had said, that the power of the Almighty was going to come on her, and the power of the Almighty was going to overshadow her, so that what was born of her was the Holy Son of God. On her journey then, I'm sure she was reflecting on that angel, that the child in her womb was the Son of God. That's what we believe, that Jesus is not merely a prophet or a miracle worker or someone with some supernatural powers. He is, in fact, the Son of God, the eternal Son of God now coming into human history. Beside her side is this young man, Joseph, and he also had received an angelic visitor who had told him that the baby to be born of Mary was to be given the name Jesus, for he would save his people from their sins. This young man in that journey must have reflected on that this young woman by his side, his fiancée, was bearing the Savior, the Messiah, the long-promised one, the one who would come to save his people from their sins. And so they come to Bethlehem and the baby is born. And then there are men, we saw them, keeping watch over the flocks by night, the shepherds, ordinary men, out at night working, a routine night, they think, and they also receive angelic visitors and that heavenly host which lit up the fields of Bethlehem with that supernatural, glorious light, the light of God, heaven coming to earth. And they're told not to fear, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who's Christ the Lord. And as Luke records it, he says in Luke chapter 2, verse 15, so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Yes, they knew that this was a supernatural message, supernatural journey of angels coming from heaven to earth, and not to fear. And so they did a remarkable thing. They went to check it out themselves. And so they made that journey, not a very long journey, a journey from the fields of Bethlehem to the manger. And there was the sign, yes, as the angel had said, that this baby had swaddling clothes and was lying in a manger, a feeding trough. A remarkable journey of Christmas. Those who took action as they heard the message of Christmas. And then there were men who made a long, long journey. How long, we don't really know, but they came from the east to the west. We're going to think of that next Sunday morning, Lord willing. They're wise men, and they make a very long journey, and they come to the child. And they give gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. and they bow down. They're Gentiles. They're in a strange land, a strange culture, but they realize that this baby is no ordinary baby. And they bow down and they worship him, their journey of Christmas. But in the journey of Christmas, not everyone responds in a positive way, because there was an evil king at the time, a man called Herod. We know from human history he was an extremely cruel man who loved to torture people. And he hears from the wise men that there is to be the king of the Jews. They're looking for the king of the Jews. And rather than Herod making his own journey as he responds to the journey of Christmas, he acts in a deceitful way. He tries to mislead the wise men. And he doesn't go and see the king. He's a little king. He doesn't go to see the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What stops him? His own love of power, his prejudice, his ambition. No one is going to interfere with his lifestyle. He is the King of Jews, he thinks. And so it's a negative response. There's another group, a surprising group. We're even more surprised at them than we are of Herod, because they're very religious people. They're the chief priests and the scribes. And they hear about the birth of Jesus as well. And rather than make their journey in response to the journey of Christmas, they oppose. Oh, they know the Bible. They know the answers. They can give the right answers. Yes, they tell the wise men the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem, because that was prophesied in the scriptures. What stops them? They are so close. They're in Jerusalem, just 4 or 5 miles away. And here are men from the east, Gentiles, who don't have their advantages, and they go, but these religious men don't. What stops them? Things that stop perhaps you, your religious heritage. This message doesn't quite jive with you. Your love of power, pride. All of these things paralyze us. Is that what happens in your journey? Because you realize, which is very true, that if you begin this journey with Jesus, it's a supernatural journey. This is not something sentimental that you rejoice once a year, but this is going to change your life. It's going to change the whole trajectory of your life, because the gospel is that this one is the Son of God. He is the Savior who comes to die on the cross for our sins, is buried, and rise again. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if that is true, as it is, when we encounter Christ personally and we receive him as our Savior, our life must change. Because being a Christian is a follower of Jesus. And we want to follow our traditions, our heritage, our lifestyle. We want a little bit of Jesus, but we want to cling on to ourselves, to our own lifestyle, our own ambitions, our own future, our own plans. And that is totally incompatible, because he is the Lord. He's God. And therefore we bow and we surrender our lives to him and say, lead me, guide me. Dante says, midway on life's journey, I find myself in a dark wood, for the straight path was lost. You find yourself in a dark wood. You've lost your way in life. You're down, you're stale, you're depressed. You've got yourself in a right mess because of some of the decisions you've made. And in a sense, you know the path, but you've departed from it, and now you find yourself in a dark road. The straight path was lost. What's the answer? We heard it in these young ladies as they sang, that Jesus comes because we are lost. He comes to seek and save the lost. This is why he comes, to rescue us, so that you need not stay where you are. You must acknowledge your sinfulness. You must realize that you can't find the true path yourself. There's a path that seems right, but it ends in destruction. The straight path, the narrow path, leads to life, leads to God, to life everlasting. And so I ask you, where are you in your journey of Christmas? What is your personal response? If you've never done it, will you just bow and ask Christ, the living Christ, the Messiah, to come and save you, transform you, and to begin and join us on this wonderful adventure of following Jesus Christ? You say, well, I don't know where he'll lead me. Well, he'll always lead you in the right path. And eventually he'll lead you to life eternal, because he is the only way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father apart from him. So surrender to him. And if you are already a follower of Christ, perhaps you've got a bit off track. Perhaps you've left, as it were, the straight way, and you've gone off. And your own ambition and your own pleasures have overtaken your life, and your desire for a comfortable life has dimmed the light of Christ. What a wonderful opportunity to recommit your life to Christ. I refer to the tear of sheep. If you take it, let me ask you to complete that. Take your iPhone. I'm going to pray, and I pray, as we are praying, that you will come to saving faith in Christ. Now, if you are a follower of Christ, a Christian, as many of us would claim to be, that you would afresh fall down and do what the wise men did and bow down and worship him and surrender your whole life to Christ. I'll tell you, as a follower of Christ, as one who's followed Christ for many years, you will never ever regret it. And he will lead you in the paths of righteousness and lead you into a life of joy and into a life of security, as he gives us eternal life and we shall never perish. Will you bow with me and pray? Our Father, we thank you. We've listened to tremendous music. Our spirits and our hearts have soared, and we have been lost in the wonder and the majesty of your greatness and of your love and your grace. But as we think of Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the wise men, we realize there is a decision that each one of us must make. We pray that we will not be like Herod or the chief priests, consumed with ourselves and our own heritage and trusting in ourselves. May some even now pray, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Lord, I turn from my sin. I repent. I failed you. And I look to Jesus as my Savior, my rescuer, my deliverer, who died on the cross for my sins. And as the Son of God rose again, I now trust him and believe in him and bow at his feet as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Save me and cleanse me. Help me to live for you. In Christ's name, amen.